No, you didn't break it down, but I didn't break it down. I didn't break it down with my head. Amen. Say, God needs champions. Amen. Will it be you? Mm-hmm. And what, I didn't get a chance to bring it out completely because, we just ran out of time. God needs champions tonight. Will it be you? All of us know the story of David and Goliath, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But God showed me David and Goliath this time in a completely different way.
Amen.
So if I'm in error, y'all forgive me. If it's an error with question tape, I got a tape shredder who is sitting through the tape shredder.
All right.
We're dismissing off the camera, and we'll do a rerun, right?
All right.
Rewind it and do it all over again.
Come on.
But truly, we thank God tonight. We're going to start off in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And what's so important to remember is this. We've been going over lately. There's a force that exists in the world today, and we thank God that we've been bringing it out. A force, an evil force. And the force is being driven by the devil. Mm-hmm. All right, that force is being driven by the devil. And the way he's driving the force is that he's trying to blind the church and everybody else through the spirit of deception.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Getting us involved with things inadvertently. And Ezekiel talked about how there was a time when the children of Israel were worshiping idols or false gods and didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. They were in the church of God and weeping for talents. It was a false pagan religion. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading, you always read David of Goliath, because David had to have a lot of courage. Being a young teenager, about your age, Lamar, how old are you, 17?
Yeah.
About 17 years old, you go fight a grown man. Mm-hmm. But he was a giant. Mm-hmm. But that giant represents more than just a giant. Mm-hmm. That giant represents something of that day that's present in this day that was present in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It represents something of that day that's present in this day and was also present from the very beginning. Because after the Lord destroyed, after he caused the flood to come, the great deluge to come, after all mankind was destroyed itself for Noah and his family, immediately after God was beginning the restoration, the children of Israel, the godly people, they ran into a force. It was a force that hindered I tried to get in the way of God. Remember in the beginning, all the way, the Trinity is a new doctrine. All the way throughout Israel history, they always knew that there was only what?
One God.
One God. Right? Anything else that existed was in opposition to the one God was called paganism. Right? So there was only what? One God. There was no Trinity. And even some of those scriptures that we find out how they added to, you got to go back and look at it. Because the scripture says in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, says, and God said, let us make man in our image. There's only one image.
That's right.
So you got to think about things. When God said, let us, and the Trinitarians try to use that as one of their pivotal scriptures as well as some of the others, when he said, let us make man in our image, what was God actually saying, and was that something that was changed? Remember, when the Bible was, initially the Bible was Hebrew, then from the Hebrew it went to the Greek. Then because the Catholic Church wanted to change the Bible and change the meaning of Scripture, they only used the Latin. What the Latin, when they rewrote it in the Latin, they left out a whole lot of the original manuscripts. Also, when they rewrote it in the Latin, they destroyed. All those times they were burning and burning and burning, they were destroying a lot of the original manuscripts. So we really need, you have to compare scripture to scripture and see, does it make sense? Does it make sense that God said, let us make, then in the next verse it says, God made. Mm-hmm. So if God said, let us make, then verse 27, he said, God made, then what did verse 26 mean? Right? And then when you go to the Logos, because a lot of people teach that they were talking about the Logos of God, you find out that the Logos of God really was dealing with Greek philosophy. It wasn't even dealing with the church of God. But we don't want to go too deep because everybody's eyes are getting bigger. Like, where is he going? I'm not going there. I'm not going there. But what we want to go, we'll start off in Genesis chapter 10. The question today, or the challenge before us, is there is a giant in the land. And what we want to do tonight is we want to give that giant some recognition. We want to realize, not recognition, but we want to give him a face. Who is the giant? What is the giant? Remember, Solomon said there's no new thing. What was of old is and shall be until the time of the Lord consumed it with the brightness of his coming. So it's going to continue. The devil, listen to me. You know, the Lord showed me this today. The devil is the devil. Doesn't change. All right? If you're walking down the street and you get hit by a car going 100 miles per hour, what's going to happen? If you get by a Mack truck going 100 miles per hour, what's going to happen? If you get hit by a bus going down the street, what's going to happen? So what makes it different is not the vehicle, is who's the driver. Right? So what the devil has been shooting doing is he's been the driver in a whole lot of different vehicles. Mm-hmm. So he might have been the MKS one day. He could have been the Dodge Charger the next day.
Yep.
Right? Right? Still the same devil. Mm-hmm. He is the force. Mm-hmm. Right? Or he could be, what's that Dodge, Jason?
Magnum.
You could be the Magnum. Right? But guess what? It's the same devil. So it doesn't matter what you get hit with, it's going to kill you. Why? Because you got the same drive. And that's why when Jesus turned to Peter, he told Peter, get thee behind me. Because who was the driver? It wasn't the vehicle. It was the person in. And it said when Judas betrayed the Lord, who entered into him?
Satan.
So it wasn't the vehicle, right? It was the driver. Right, so we got to get that driver out of our cars. But how can you get him out of the car if you don't recognize who he is? Right. So we need to recognize who he is. So tonight, we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 10, and then we're going to wind up back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Genesis chapter 10 is in the beginning. This is after God had caused the great flood to come upon the earth, and he destroyed all mankind because the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of his thought was evil. Because who? The devil was being the influential one. It's not, listen, it's not the church, it's not the people, it's the driver. So if you don't listen, if I'm gonna be the chaperone, I gotta make sure whoever's driving me, right, has my better interest in mind. I'm not going to get in a vehicle of someone that doesn't care and is reckless. Well, who's driving your vehicle tonight? That's important. Who's driving your vehicle? I don't care if it's a Magnum, an MKS, a Dodge Charger. My truck is all right. Silverado. George's truck is all right. Fred's van's all right. Doesn't matter who's in the vehicle or what the vehicle is. What matters is who's the driver. That's more important than anything. Who's driving your vehicle? The devil has been the devil from the beginning. And guess what? He's going to be the devil until the Lord consumes him with the brightness of his coming. The devil will not change. He's been the devil. His tactics doesn't change. He uses the same thing. He tries to deceive you. And we went over last night. The main thing that Paul tried to get across to the church of Ephesus, or the Ephesian church, he said, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, one of the main things, he said, you got to put on the helmet of salvation. When you have the helmet of salvation on, that means you're thinking right.
Yes, sir.
And your right thinking is to be saved.
Amen.
Then after you put on the helmet of salvation, it's important that you put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Amen. We was there before, this is fun. Just
Amen. So, where was I at?
The driver.
Breastplate of righteousness. You know, for years people talked that this breastplate of the male, the coat, was just front armor. But it was a Roman breastplate. It had armor in the front and the back. So first your head has to be protected so you can be in the right place with the helmet of salvation. Then you have to have on the breastplate of righteousness, meaning you want to do the right thing. And if it doesn't come from the heart, the motives are wrong and it's not right. Doesn't come from the heart, the motives are wrong, it's not right. So then after you give them the breastplate of righteousness, then they have to have their loins girt about or belt to keep everything together, which was the truth. Yeah. What binds it all together is the truth.
Right.
You gotta have the truth. And then your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel. It means you got to be, you have to know what the gospel is. You got to be firmly planted in the word. Then after you're firmly planted in the word, then you have to have a shield of faith. What does that do? That fights off all of the darts, the wiles, the schemes, the deceptions of the enemy. And then not last, but one of the last things you need is the sword of the spirit.
Okay.
Rightly dividing the what?
Word of God.
Then you need to pray always with all prayer and supplication for what? Yourself and for the saints. That's the whole armor. If you leave off a part of the armor, you're going to be injured.
Right.
If you leave off any part of that armor, you're going to be injured. And when you're injured, you know, you might be able to still fight, but you won't have the full strength. Your injury might cause you to have to retire from the battle. So if you don't have on the whole armor of God, how are you going to stand against the schemes, wiles of the schemes, or the tricks of the devil? Why? Because he's coming at you everywhere. He comes at the head, he comes at the heart, he comes at the feet, he comes at everything. If you don't have on the whole armor, you will be deceived. All right, Genesis chapter 10. We're going to go back to the very beginning. So after the flood, what was the first thing Israel would be considered the church in the Old Testament? What was the first thing the church in the Old Testament had to encounter? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to start off reading in verse 7. No, verse 8. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And verse 8 reads, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth." And this is not mighty in the sense of God. "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." Babel is Babylon. Alright, Babylon, from the beginning of his kingdom was Babylon. As we went over last night, Nimrod actually meant the worship of the sun. It meant the shining one. It meant that he was splendor. Alright, that's what Nimrod means. It meant that Nimrod was Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the shining star. So Nimrod represented the sun. So the first thing that the church encountered after God starts the restoration of everything is a pagan god. And who's the pagan god? Nimrod. All right, and then we keep going on. But then we'll go to chapter 11. All right, chapter 11, and it reads starting with verse 1. "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass." The whole earth was what? One language, one speech. What's the goal of the New World Order? The agenda today is to have what? One world order, right? One language, one speech, one currency. That's the goal. What was, is, and what shall be. So that is their goal, to have one world order. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar. They dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach what?
The
heaven." Right? So what is this? This is not, either is one, or is monotheistic, or is pagan, and is what? Polytheistic. Paganism is always polytheistic. So now, instead of them serving the true God, they're trying to reach to heaven. And heaven at that time, when they were trying to reach the heaven, they were trying to touch the sun, the moon, and the star. The original Trinity was the sun, the moon, and the stars. And who was the sun? Nimrod. Who was the moon? Semiramis. Semiramis was the moon, and then Tammuz would have been the star who also replaced the sun. So that was the original Trinity. They were trying to reach the heavens. All right, and how do we know that it was against what God wanted? Let's continue. And verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. God, that was the children of God and the children of men. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language. God never wanted things to be one. He never has been written this new world order, this 111. It represents paganism. Mm-hmm. It represents a polytheistic system. It is a giant. All right, remember that. It is a giant. He said, they will be one. So he says, go to, let us go down and confound the language that they may not understand one another. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord confounded the language so that he could do what? Scatter the people. He said, you know, as long as they're there, they think they can reach me through their own efforts. They think they can reach me through their flesh. But God said it won't be, because they are practicing a pagan religion. Either it was godly or it was pagan. Pagan represented the Gentiles, which were polytheistic, which was the Trinity, which was Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. All right, that's what it was in the Babylonian. In the Greek, it was Isis, Horus, and Seth. Every religion has had their representation. And they said even the Muslim religion really is a part of the Catholic Church, because Allah really means the Queen of Heaven. Mm-hmm. When they're serving Allah without them realizing it, the Catholic Church has everybody do. They means Allah means, look it up, Queen of Heaven. And as part of, they show on the site, I said, part of their worship in Allah is they have a moon god right on their chest. They don't realize. Why? Because Satan has a scheme. Satan has a plan. And most people just follow a religion to be a part of it, of a socialism. And they don't realize the real essence of it. So you need to know what you're doing. You need to know who's driving your car. You need to know who's driving your bus. You need to know who's driving your charger, your Magnum, your MKS, your Plymouth, your Infiniti, your Toyota, what else do they make? Your Honda, your Hyundai, where are they? Your everything. You need to know who's driving it, because the vehicle is not important. The driver is what counts. So who's driving the vehicle? Who's in charge? Now let us go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Who's driving the vehicle? Who is the giant? Who's the giant? All right? And God needs somebody to fight the giant. But he said the weapons of our warfare are what? For we wrestle not against
blood,
but against against the rulers of
darkness
of this world, against spiritual wickedness where?
High places.
Meaning heavenly and also in the high forms of government. That's what we're wrestling against.
Right.
And you can't beat it with your own conventional methods.
Yeah.
You gotta do it with God's help. Alright, now I'm gonna go through this pretty fast. I'm gonna skip around, starting in verse 4. It says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. He was a giant, all right, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So now, what Goliath, well, that's curious. You know, when I saw some other stuff, I said, what does Goliath mean? Goliath means splendor, a one that shines as the sun of the bright light. That's what Goliath means. It's like, wow. So Goliath represented who?
Lucifer.
Nimrod. what? 6 cubits and what?
And a span.
And a span. 6 cubits and a span. Listen, the devil's system doesn't change. It doesn't change. So 6 cubits and a span is 9 feet, 9 inches. So what does the devil do? His system doesn't change. He disguises himself through what? Symbols, through numerology. So 9 plus 9 is what?
18.
18 divided by 3 is what? 666. Why? Because the devil is still the devil. He doesn't change. It's still the Babylonian system. So what did Goliath? Goliath wasn't just Goliath. Goliath was a giant. And as a giant, what was the giant? He was a what? Pagan religion. So he was 666, who is the mark of the beast, who is also Lucifer, who is Satan. It didn't change. So what's the first thing he did? He went to do what? Confront the people of God. And how did he do it? He did it as a what? Philistine. Right? So then the ruling power, the ruling religion, the ruling government was what? The Philistines. Right? It was pagan. All right? So now let's go to Judges chapter 16. Right? So he doesn't change. The same what? Yesterday. This was God, but the devil hasn't changed. His methodology hasn't changed. He does it the same way. They say you can trace every Masonic religion back to Babylon. Back to what? The beginning. Why? Because Satan has not changed. Right? So when you read David and Goliath, it's not really David and Goliath, because remember what? David was a type of who? Christ. David was a type of Christ, which represented godliness. All right? So we're going to go to Judges chapter 16. So remember, Goliath really was the shining one. He was the splendor of the sun. He was 666, who is the Antichrist. All right? We're going to go here to verse 23. All right? They're fighting who? The Philistines. Right, they're fighting the Philistines. And it says, and the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God. And then we recently learned that Dagon is who?
Fish God.
He represents the Pope. That's the papal hat. It's the Dagon. It's to the who? To the fish, he was part fish and part man, who is Shamash, who is the sun god, whose day god, who they found their beginning back in Nimrod. So the Philistines were who? They were the Catholic Church, if you want to say that. They were the sun god worshipers. They were the pagans. They were who? The Philistines. So it says that, for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our god, right? They said their god has delivered Samson into their hand, who was their enemy. So that Satan has always tried to disguise himself. So he was Dagon, even with the Philistine, and who's challenging Israel? The Philistines. Alright? So we recognize that the Philistine, the paganism has not changed. Israel of the Old Testament is also the Israel of the New Testament. And I'll show you that in a few minutes. All right, now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. So the Philistine system that existed really represented sun god worship. It represented the pagan religion. All right, chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse... let's start from verse 1. All right, same Philistines. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of who?
Dagon.
Listen, still the same pagan god. He's still the same god. But they made a mistake this time, because they took, listen, when you got the true God, you can't be God's giver. Amen. Don't give me a duplicate. Don't give me an imitation. I don't know what Coke was talking about. I think Coke said it's nothing like the real thing. But give me God of the chain.
Right.
All right, he said, and when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought, verse 2, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth. Hey, we got the real God. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Let me see. Job said, I heard him. By the hearing of the ear. I heard what it did for somebody else. Now, I want my own testimony. Baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see him for myself. And he said, when he rose early in the morning, that pagan God, that polytheistic God, that Trinity had fallen on his face. Why? Because every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't give me the pagan God. I want the real thing. So he said, when he rose up early in the morning, David had fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of God. Remember, the ark of God represented the what? Presence of God. All right, so he fell on his face, and they took Dagon and set him up in his place. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and his head and the head of Dagon was gone. Listen, when God breaks the head, there ain't nothing else left. The Pope might as well get rid of the hat because you can't stand in the presence of God. You can't do anything with God and his fury. Why? Because God is God all by himself. Well, you'll get the rest of it. We're going to skip the rest. But Dagon had fallen. And they realized when they were in the Philistine, they realized there was a problem. There's a problem. And they said, well, maybe this just happened by mistake. What we're going to do, we're going to take the ark and we're going to put it on some camels. And we're going to see which way it goes. We're going to follow. He said, now, if it goes toward Israel, then we know that it's God that's fighting for them. Mm-hmm. Listen, whatever your life is,
yes,
put him in charge.
Yes.
You don't know what to do, put him in charge.
Yes.
I guarantee you, he'll lead you in the right way. Why? Because God is God all by himself.
Yes.
He don't have to get help from us. You need deliverance, go to God. Why? They put him on the ox, and the ox knew where to go. Isaiah said, the ox knows his own and the ass mess grip. This ox knew what? We got to get this ark back to Israel. Why? Because that is the true God.
Amen.
The true God doesn't mess around with idols. The true God doesn't get caught up in paganism. The true God is God all by himself. All right, so let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So we see that now, who's the system? The system is a pagan system. Either you're God or you're pagan. There's no in between. God, listen, in the beginning he said, the Lord our God is one Lord. Ephesians 4, 5 said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There's only one. In Revelation, John said, I saw one on the throne. Anything else is not of God. They can be in error, but they're not of God. But listen, as God led his spirit in the right direction, his presence, he'll lead you if you ask him.
Amen.
But if you're comfortable and you want to have itchy ears and just tell me what I want to hear, then you're being deceived.
Yes.
Remember when all manipulation, somebody else is pulling the string.
Right.
So we go back, so now we know who the Philistines were, right? We really realized that they were the enemies of God. And it says, we're going to skip down now to verse 23. This is the champion of the pagans, challenging the people of God. All right, 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up one of the champions of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath. So we already know he's nothing but the representation of who? The devil. He's 666. He's Lucifer. He's the strength. He's the shining one. He's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Goliath by name of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to Philistine means their representation from another place. So the Philistines were trying to replace the true God. They couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to represent the true people of God. They couldn't do it. And according to the same words, David heard them. And all the men, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. God needs a champion. But we can't do it the way we want to do it. Amen. We can't go by the challenges and the threats. Listen, the devil is the devil. The whole system, the whole world system is there. But if God be for me, who can be against me? If God fights my battle, I can't lose. Why? Because they that be with us, the scripture says, are more than they that be against us. How can you not have victory when God is standing there to fight all your battles? Because they that be with us are more than they that be against us. Mm-hmm. Amen. So it says, and when Israel saw the man, they fled from him. And skip down to verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? Remember, David is a type of Christ. The Bible, you have symbolism. You can have what's literal. Sometimes you're foreshadowing. Who wrote most of the messianic promises or prophecies in the Old Testament came from who? David, right? Psalms has over 35 Psalms, I'm not talking about just verses, there's many parts of the Psalm. They make reference to Jesus being the Messiah, right? The Lord said unto my Lord, right? The Lord in the Old Testament is Jehovah. Jesus in the New Testament means Jehovah has become our salvation. So Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament because Jehovah has become their salvation. So Jehovah has not changed. Jehovah old, Jehovah new. Just the name was Jesus.
Right.
Jehovah old is Jehovah new, but the name is Jesus. Jesus has become our salvation. All right, so David is a type of Christ. All right, so David, remember David, when he got anointed by Samuel, the word of God says the Spirit of the Lord entered him from that day forward. So from that day forward, he was what you would consider the anointed one. Messiah means anointed one. So David was a type of Christ. And I got to go faster. So let me build on David being a Christ, and then we'll come back to this. David was as Jesus. Why? David became king when he was what? 30 years old. In order to enter the priesthood, you had to be what? 30 years old. Jesus in Luke chapter 3 said, and then when Jesus was 30 years old, he became what? The priest. Right? So 30 years old was important. So as with David, so with Jesus. All right? And also, let's skip down to verse. I got to go fast because I don't want to take a lot of time. Let's skip down to verse. We're going to have to come back to some of these. But verse 28. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Remember, now David is in the place of Christ. Right? He is Christ. His typology is of Christ. He is Christ in the Old Testament. Why? Because listen, David could not write all those scriptures and songs about Christ and not know who Christ was. So when the Spirit, listen, when the Spirit entered him, God then ordered his step. The reason he was able to write the song, because he was able to write from God on the inside, because old men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Right? So when he was writing by, not because of David, but because God entered him when Saul anointed him. So he was writing by the Spirit. So as he wrote in the Spirit let him know, this giant that you're fighting, David, this giant in this book, it's the same giant in Revelation. Right. That same devil in the Old Testament is the same beast in the New Testament. That giant, the 666 in the Old Testament, is the giant in Revelation chapter 13, the false prophet and the thief, and he's still 666. So David understood that I am in the place of Christ. That's why he said, my Lord said unto my Lord said unto my Lord, sit on thy right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. He said, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to stay in hell. He knew there was going to be a resurrection. Why? Because he was Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 28, after the men of Eliab, anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He said, I know the pride and the knowledge of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So what happened? His brothers already what? Rejected him. They don't believe him. David said, what have we not done? Is there not a what? Is there not a call? So what? David is a type of Christ, right? Now let's turn to St. John chapter 7. St. John chapter 7. David is a type of Christ. David was rejected by who? His brethren. Right? His brethren said, we don't have no confidence in you. Go back to those few sheep that you left in the wilderness. St. John chapter 7. And I start, Tanya catches. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Remember, David is a type of who? Christ. David was anointed king at 30. Jesus became Messiah, started his ministry at 30. All right, it's very important. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was in hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. Verse 5. For neither did his brethren what? Believe in him. Right? So David's brother didn't believe in him. Guess what? Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him either. And remember John chapter 1, I think verse 11 said, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive. Why? They didn't believe him. As with David, so with Jesus. He's going to follow it all the way through. So then David says, is there not a cause? So then David, because he understands, listen, David has been anointed. He's full of the Spirit. He realized that he's not fighting Goliath, he's fighting the devil. He's fighting that Antichrist spirit. He's fighting the spirit of paganism. It says in David, verse 34 of chapter 17, that David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and a lion and a bear took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine. This means this pagan individual. That's what it means. Uncircumcised being pagan individual. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has done what? Defied the what? Armies of the living God. Amen. Touch not God's anointing. And don't do his prophet no harm. Who is this? We talk about the real God. Amen. We talk about the real person. Don't touch God's anointing. Leave him alone. Amen. Because God knows what to do and how to do it. So you can't mess with the living God. Remember in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, they that bless you, I will bless. Listen, if you got God's spirit, you do the right thing. Because they that bless you, God said, I'll bless. And if they give you trouble, God said, I'll trouble. So what? Something to say. He said it was a lion and a bear, right? Remember, and Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and in the dream he saw what? A lion and a bear. Why? Because the Babylonian Empire that was, is, and will be. He dreamed, he didn't see the lion and the bear, but he saw himself as a head of gold and a breastplate of silver. But then God gave Daniel the revelation a little while. Show you something about the I'm going to show you something about the Antichrist. And Revelation chapter 13 said, he was like a lion and like a bear. The devil has not changed. He's still the devil. Amen. So David knew what the lion and the bear represented. Why? Because he had God's spirit. And he realized, I can't fight it like I would fight anybody else. I can't fight this giant. I can't fight this spirit. I can't fight this system by myself. Because I need God. He realized he needed God. So he said, verse 37, the Lord, David said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of thine hand. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. But what Saul tried to do initially is he tried to put his armor on David. But David said, I'll let you do it. But as he did, God started dealing with it. And David realized, he said, you know what, Saul? The battle is not mine, the battle is God. He said, I can't wear this because your weapon don't mean anything to me. Your weapon don't mean a thing to me, Saul. I got to do it God's way. Those times when I leave and I meditate, God orders and directs my step. The time when I pin the song, he keeps talking about the Messiah. That Messiah is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't understand him, so but I got the spirit and I don't know. So the battle, I can't wear these clothes. The all I need is a helmet of salvation. I can't have your help. It doesn't mean a thing to me. The breastplate I need is a breastplate of righteousness. Your breastplate don't mean a thing to me. When I get down on my feet, the sandals have to be the gospel of peace. Your sandals don't mean a thing to me. And the sword I need, Saul, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your sword don't mean a thing. But I gotta do it God's way.
Come on.
Go down to verse 40. We go down to verse 40. So what does David do? He's going to fight Goliath. He's going to fight this giant, this pagan, ungodly system. He's going to fight it. And the first thing he does in verse 40, he said he did what? He took his staff in his hand. Right? Staff represents to who? Shepherd. Right? Wait a minute, David, you're going to fight a battle? What in the world are you going to go and fight like a shepherd for? Because David understood down on the inside. Right. The battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord. If I go on your battles and if I win, you're going to say David did. But David said, you know what? I remember where he talks about in the psalm about the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah, something about God on the side. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not go. And David said, you know what, when things got so bad, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Then he went a step further, he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. He said, surely, goodness and mercy.
So we don't fight with our hands, with our mouth. We let God do all the fighting. Because he'll bless those that bless you. And he will curse those that curse you. Why? Because it's a covenant that God has set forth. If God said it, I believe it. And somebody said, and then what? That sounds good for me. So what's the first? Why are you going to fight like a shepherd? But David understood. He said, I wrote the Psalms. And I can understand. That's why he says that I know my Redeemer stand, liveth, and he shall stand in the latter days. and I know who he is. So when I come, I'm going to fight this system. I'm going to fight this devil. I'm going to fight these pagans like God. Just like God. So what does he do after that? He goes down and he reached in the water. Amen. This is where the church comes in. He reached in the water. I mean, David could have went anywhere. Why did he have to reach in the water? Because David knew that God was going to have a church. And he knew the only way he could fight the pagan religion was through the church.
Yes.
So David reached down in the water and picked up five stones. Well, why did he have to pick them up out the water? Because when you get baptized in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on.
I said when you get baptized in the name of Jesus, then you have the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus became the chief cornerstone. Why? That's why he had to reach in the water. You won't beat the devil unless you go through the water, because you can't beat the devil unless you're in the church. So David understood. So he reached down in the water and he picked up the stones. Amen. And then when he went to fight Goliath, it says he put the stone in the sling. And he slain the stone and it hit Goliath in the forehead. I know it's getting late, so I'm wrong. Picked up the stone and the sling, and the Philistine came on, verse 41, and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And verse 43 says, and the Philistine said unto David, am I God that thou comest to me with a stick? He didn't realize who he was coming against. He thought he was going against David, but he was going against Christ himself. He was going against the Spirit of God that was in David. He said, what am I, a dog that you come to him with a stick? And he realized, yes, he was a dog. And the Philistine, he made a big mistake. If he would have blessed David, he would have had help. But God had already made a promise to Israel. They that bless you, I will bless. But he made a mistake, and he cursed God. He cursed David. How did he curse him? Through his pagan religion. Through his gods. G-O-D-S. It was three of them. He made a mistake. He cursed David through the Trinity. God said, if you curse me, I'll curse you. If you curse my people, that's like putting your finger in the apple of God's eye. It's better to leave them alone and say nothing than to put your finger in the apple of God's eye. Because God said, now I'll fight your battle. I'll fight your battle. Just be still and know that I'm God. Why? Because I'll fight your battle. Says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Why? Because I'm God all by myself. So he cursed David by his gods. He should have left them gods alone. He should have left that fish god, those sun gods, and all those demons alone, because he brought a curse on himself. Alright, so it says we're going to skip down to verse 46. David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a
God.
Did he say three gods?
No,
did he say two gods?
No,
that they may know that there is a what?
God.
God needs champions tonight. Will it be you? We have proclaimed that there is one God.
Hallelujah.
I said there's one God.
Hallelujah.
Different manifestation, but he's the same God.
Hallelujah.
There is one God. It says, and this is in verse 47, this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Mm-hmm. Amen. I am the good shepherd now. Jesus said, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep and fight for his sheep. So David said, now I'm the good shepherd. I'm not coming to you with a sword and a shield. I'm just coming like a lamb. I'm coming like a shepherd. I'm coming just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. In verse 48, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David,
that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, listen, we used to sing a song down south, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over this land. You've been fighting all over this land. But Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. If you trust in God and believe God, we're going to tear his kingdom down. I don't care what the Vatican plan. I don't care what the Black Hope plan. I don't care what the Illuminati plan. Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. How do you know we're going to tear it down? Because when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream in Babylon, back to Babylon again, he said something strange happened. In the midst of the dream, I had this image. And then there was a stone, not made with hands. I said the church of God always has been, was in the Old Testament, and is in the New Testament too. There was a stone, not made with hands. And the stone crushed his feet. What did it do? It toppled his kingdom down. Why? Because it was Jesus. A stone, not made with hands. It troubled Nebuchadnezzar because he couldn't understand it. The Babylonian system has no power against God. Amen. The church doesn't have to fear because God said, I'll be with you always. Even until the end. Take all the job. Take everything. But God said, I am your way maker. I am your way maker. I'm your problem solver. Then he hit him in the head, verse 51. Then David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of his sheath, and he slew him and cut off his head. Amen. But what did God tell Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3:15? He said, you know what? You're going to bruise his head. And I'm going to bruise your heel. David knew this. So when David fought Goliath, he went and put his foot on his head. Why? Because if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Right. Amen. It's nothing like having God on your side.
Hallelujah.
You gotta keep it with you. Alright, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to chapter 17 now. We're gonna tie this all in and we're gonna bring it to the close. The Babylonian system always has been. It will be here, but it has no power against the church. Because the church is Christ. David came as Christ. David was a type of Christ. So even though Goliath had all that he could do, he had no power because God was on his side. But go to verse 16 of the 17th chapter. Verse 16 says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Then after 40 days, David comes on the scene, right? I would imagine to be consistent with the scripture, when David went to fight Goliath, it had to be the 42nd day, right? Daniel saw a dream and it was 70 years. But the 70 weeks really represented, each week was 7 years. So you know, God does things his way. So. He said, God doesn't just arbitrarily put something in the scripture. He came 40 days, and after 40 days, David shows up. After 40 days, David shows up because David is a type of who? Christ.
Right?
He's a type of Christ. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. So I would have to imagine this is on the 42nd day, David destroyed the pagan God. On the 42nd day, chapter 1, verse 11 of Matthew. Listen, the system doesn't change. Was Babylonian? Is Babylonian. It doesn't change. And it says, verse 17. It says, so all the generations from Abraham, who was the promise, from the promise to David was what? 14 generations. Mm-hmm. Then what happens all of a sudden? They go from David to where? Babylon. Back to Babylon again. The system does not change. Mm-hmm. From David to Babylon was what? 14 years. Mm-hmm. Then from Babylon to Christ was what?
14 generations.
14 generations. Not years, 14 generations. 14 plus 14 plus 14 equals what? 42. Right? So he came 42 generations. David fight Goliath on the 42nd day. Why? Because David is in the place of Christ. And God doesn't change. He's still the same God. So David realized, I'm coming in his stead. I'm fighting the same what? Babylonian system. How do you fight it? As the church. That's how we fight it. We fight it as the church, because when we fight it as the church, I didn't finish off my notes. I lost half of it. We got close enough, I think. I think you understand enough, right? But before we close, let's just hit a couple more things. I didn't really get a chance to finish it because I had to babysit it. No. But listen, there's so much, you know, when the Lord started showing me all that, I said, wow, why in the world would David want to fight? I couldn't figure out why David would go out like a shepherd to fight the giant. And then all the scriptures just started opening up. Listen, God wants us to be successful. God wants the church to make it. More than we want to make it, God wants us to make it. All right, let's turn to, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Couple more verses. Hebrews chapter 13. We saw Goliath represented the pagan system, represented Antichrist, was 666, represented Lucifer. But he had no power against the church because David was Christ as the church. Whatever we're going through tonight, it has no power if you go God's way. If you try to fix it, if you put on your own sword, you're messed up. When you put on your own helmet, you messed up. When you put on your own shield, you messed up. When you go walking according to my rules, you mess up. Why? Because you have to put on the whole armor of God. You can't fight the conventional way. You got to do it God's way. You got to let God be true and every man a liar. All right, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Sometimes we just don't have the peace in our mind that we should have because we haven't put on the helmet. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you don't have on the helmet of salvation, the devil is the devil. Guess I know he's been doing this job thousands of years. You think your 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years can make a difference? Mm-hmm. Mine makes a difference. The devil, we can't outwit him. Mm-hmm. So we have to put on some help. The helmet of salvation is God helping. God protecting your mind. God keeping your mind. You can't do it by yourself. You need the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation said that God will make a way out of no way. The helmet of salvation said you can't do it through your own strength. The battle is not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what God told Zerubbabel in the book of Zechariah. He said, look, you're trying to do it by yourself. You're trying to fix all of these problems your way. You can't do it because it's not by your might. It's not by your power. Why? Because even the youth shall faint and young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. If you need help, wait on the Lord. Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. Put on the helmet of salvation. Then God protects your mind. And God will give you a mind to fight even though you don't see help. God will give you that mind. So you said, a lot of us tonight, we don't have a peace we ought to have. Why? Because we got our helmet on. Replace your helmet with the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation said all things work together for good. No matter how bad it looked, it's working together for good.
helmet that said, "Is God's way or no way?" And when I put on the helmet and I began to read the scripture and try and understand, I said, "Lord, I can't understand it, because when I look at my mind, then I look at you, I can't even find you, because you're so high. Your thoughts are so much higher than mine, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I can't figure out how I'm going to fight this giant with just a rock and a staff." But your way says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now, verse 20. Now the God of peace. Amen. You need peace? You need God. The God of peace. Listen, all those other gods are nothing but gods of trouble. God of anguish. God of anxiety. God of trouble. God of trial, God of discouragement, God of oppression, God of depression. What are they? They're all from the devil.
That's right.
But God said, "I'll give you peace." And the peace I give you, guess what? The world can't give it to you.
Right.
He said, "I am the God of peace. That born again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep."
That's right.
I am God. I'm the God of peace. Whatever you're going through, let me help you. He said, "You know what, as a good shepherd, I see the fox come. As a good shepherd, I see the lion come. As a good shepherd, I see the bear coming. And he's nothing more than the devil." Why? Because he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God says, "I see him. I'm going to help you, but you got to come to me. I'm going to make a way, but you don't go away from me. Let me help you. I'm going to make a way where there is no way, but don't run to the devil. Run to me. Because when you run to me, the name of the Lord is a sword. The name of the Lord is a what?
Sword.
When you run to me.
Hallelujah.
But when you run away from it, you run away from your help. The devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what he does? He attacks your mind because you don't have any help in the salvation. You want to fight the devil? Put on the helmet. You got to do it God's way. All right? Thus saith the Lord unto thee, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things that I prepared for them that love me. And I have declared, if you love me, just keep my commandment. If you will follow my word, if you abide in me and let my words abide in thee, thou shalt ask what it will and it shall be.